You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Proverbs 10. We've been teaching on finances, biblical finance. I know there's a lot of, you know, pros and cons and misuses and abuses and on the subject of prosperity, but, you know, the Bible's plain. God wants you to prosper. Did you know that? He really does. But he doesn't want you to be greedy for money. He doesn't want you to lust after money. He wants you to go at it biblically and scripturally. And many times the scriptures that are quoted concerning money are misquoted. You know, they're like misfires is what they are. Like badly reloaded bullets that just don't fire right. They'll use scriptures like, you know, 1 Timothy 6:10 says the love of money is the root of all evil. And they'll quote it like, money's the root of all evil. But that's not what it said. It said the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some having coveted after have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through many sorrows. So we ought to always watch our love and make sure that we don't lust after, love after money, you know, in that sense. But he didn't say having money was the root of all evil. He said just the love of it was. And then, of course, in Matthew, the sixth chapter, where Jesus is talking about serving God, he said you cannot serve God and mammon or riches. He said, you cannot have two masters. You'll either hate the one and love the other, and so on and so forth. But he didn't say you couldn't have money and serve God. He said you can't serve money and serve God. So there again, it's a heart matter. You can have all the money in the world as long as it doesn't have you. Amen? And then the one that he said about the rich man in Mark 10 and also in Matthew, and I said it again in Luke. He said, how hard is it for those that have riches to enter into the kingdom of heaven? It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to go to heaven. But the disciples were astounded at that, and they said, how's that possible? And he says, well, he reiterated, he said, how hard is it for those that trust in riches? So there again, he's talking about the trust. And the camel in the eye of a needle, we lose that as Gentiles, being from Wills Point, Edgewood, and Elmo. That was just a title they had on the wall of the city. There was an archway that was called the needle's eye, because at night they closed the gates to Jerusalem. So if you came in late, you couldn't get in. If you had a camel, you had to unload everything off the camel and push him through the eye of a needle. So you got to be willing to unload. There was a teaching in that when he said that. But it's a Jewish idiom, and we didn't understand it when we read it as Gentiles. Us Gentiles didn't get it. But we had to be willing to unload everything to enter in. And therein lies the problem with the rich man who trusts in his riches and doesn't trust in God. So it was an attitude, wasn't anything to do with your possessions. So God wants to prosper. You went through many scriptures concerning that. This is several weeks we've been on teaching on this. We see over and over that God is into blessing us. He's into prospering us. He daily loads us with benefits. He delights in our prosperity, the Bible says. The Lord's our shepherd. We shall not want or lack for any good thing. Amen. And the Bible tells us very plainly, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, Philippians 4:19. And Matthew, the sixth chapter, where he talks about not serving money, in that same chapter, he says that consider the birds of the air, they neither toil nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father clothes them and feeds them. Are you not much better than they? And he says, consider the lilies of the field in all their glory. Solomon, all of his splendor, was not arrayed like one of these or clothed like one of these flowers. If God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, tomorrow is cast in the oven, how much more shall he not clothe you, O ye of little faith? He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So God is into helping us and blessing us. He's our Father. But God wants our heart right. He wants our heart, he wants our love, he wants our service, and he wants our trust. That's pretty simple. Now, in Proverbs, we talked about last week, God's number one way of prospering you is work. That four-letter word, work. But if God doesn't just supernaturally, we can say all day long, God's going to bless me, God's going to bless me. But God blesses what we do. He blesses what we put our hands to. Amen? And so work is his number way of prosperous. It says he blesses all the work of your hand, Deuteronomy 28. So, you know, if you're able to, go get a job and ask God to bless that job. Are you with me? Now, if you're retired or handicapped, I understand. Well, I believe God to bless those retirement checks or investments that you've made or whatever the case may be. But be diligent in it. Are you out there? And trust God to do all you can do, and God will bless what you do, and he'll do what you can't do. But if we're not doing what we can do, we can't expect God to do anything extra, because he moves on us and he blesses us through us. Many times our miracle includes us. It involves us. You know, all through the scripture, Many times when someone needed something or needed a miracle, God would tell them to do something. He told Naaman to go down a river and dip seven times. Well, that wasn't a big deal, but God was using him to bring his miracle to pass. All through the scripture, many times healings and miracles that took place, Jesus would say things like, do you believe I'm able to do this? Or what is it that you want me to do? Are you with me? So he wanted them to believe. He wanted them to be a part of it in that sense. Sometimes we're believing God for money, and we ought to be believing God for a job. Just a thought. I've already addressed retirees and your handicap, whatever the case may be. And sometimes we're believing God for more money. We ought to be believing God for wisdom, direction. I think, and you know the statistics, people that win lotteries and things like that, you give them a year or two, they're penniless. They have no money at all. People that get huge inheritances, the problem is not money. The problem is the management of the money, not knowing how to handle the money. You say, this is a church service. What are you talking about? I'm sharing scripture. I think this has been neglected many times in church, and we have people that are in poverty, and we're just praying for them, but we're not helping them. Are you with me? We're not giving them wisdom, giving any hope that they can get out of that poverty, that work really is achievable, it's attainable. If God wants us to work, then it doesn't matter about the economy. If we believe God, he'll help us get a job. You don't buy the lie that you can't get a job. And if God blesses our work, don't buy the lie that you can't make it, work it. You can make it. You know, may work on this job and get a better one. You may work on this job and get a promotion. But if you do what God says to do on your job, just like you do when you need to forgive someone, you need to love someone, you need to pray, that's all in the Bible. Well, the Bible talks about working. If you do what God says to do about work, you'll get promoted. Yeah, you know, we're going to talk about diligence today. Don't everybody get so excited just because we're talking about diligence. Proverbs 10, are you ready? Now, I want to bless you. I want to help you. I think it's all spiritual. I think we sometimes separate practical and spiritual, but spiritual is practical. If it's biblical, if it's in the scripture and you've got verses on it, you should do it. Amen? What should you do if God says love? What should you do if God says forgive? Sure. What should you do if God says lay hands on the sick? Ought to do that. What should you do if God says go to work? Just a thought, yeah. And what would be more spiritual? Well, nothing. I mean, it's all spiritual. Obeying God is spiritual. See, we need to get the spiritual back into our daily lives. This is not just a Sunday thing. This is not just a Wednesday night thing. I'm a Christian 24/7. I'm a Christian on my job. I ought to work just like I'm a Christian. I ought to be honest. Amen. I ought to work hard. I ought to show up on time. Woohoo. And I shouldn't get upset about someone getting promoted when I didn't show up on time and they did. When I didn't do my job and they did their job. And I'm thinking, well, I'm a Christian. I ought to be promoted. Well, you're not going to be promoted if you don't do what God says to do. You have to obey his principles. But if you obey his principles, yeah, he'll bless you. No question, he'll promote you. But part of obeying God is doing what we say. If we hired on a job, we hired on to be there at a certain time. We hired on to do a certain job. And we gave our word about that. That's a Christian witness. Did you know that? My Christian testimony is on the line when I take out a loan to pay the payment every month. Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. But anyway, notice what it says in Proverbs. Y'all excited about this? Amen. Y'all excited as I am? The good news is this encourages us when we're doing the things that we're supposed to be doing, always been doing it, but kind of thinking it's just separate from serving God or that's just practical stuff, this is spiritual stuff. No, this is all spiritual. See, I am not a human having a spiritual experience. I am a spirit having a human experience. You and I are spirit beings. You and I are children of the living God, and we are having a human experience. But everything we do is spiritual because we are a spirit. And when you talk about working hard and being faithful, and as if we own a business, keeping our word and not lying about the product and so on and so forth, when you talk about integrity and character on a job, that's being a Christian witness. That's just being spiritual. Are you out there? And you know, God blesses that. And you don't have to compromise that to make it in this world. Don't you buy that lie. You know, I'll just fudge a little here and fudge a little. That's what you got to do to get ahead, you know. No, what you have to do is obey God and trust God. And God will make a way. Somehow, some way, he'll make it happen. Amen? Notice Proverbs 10, verse 4. In the King James, it says this, King Jimmy. It says, he becometh poor that deals with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. Man, that's good. You like that? Have you believed that? That's a principle is what that is. That's a biblical principle. Does God want to prosper us? Well, of course he does. He wouldn't have said that if he didn't. Does it pay to work? Well, sure it does. Well, you can do all that, but God may not bless you. Well, that would mean he lied, because it says right here, if you do this, you would get rich. I'm sorry for being such a literalist, but I really believe the Bible. How about you? I believe the Bible's true. Now, the King James says, he becomes poor that deals with a slack hand or a slothful hand or a lazy hand, as it were. And the hand of the diligent makes rich. The New Living Translation says, lazy people are soon poor, but hard workers get rich. I like that one. That's good. That just lays it out there, doesn't it? You know successful churches or churches that work hard? And, I mean, we can announce hallelujah night all year long, but if we don't get out there and work, oh, God, work. If we're not diligent, are you with me? And y'all been diligent. I mean, it took us all week to get all that together and then tear it down the next day. It's hard work, but you know what? There are benefits to working hard, aren't there? When you see all those smiling kids coming there, hundreds of kids came, don't have a church affiliation, that weren't even, they don't even go to church. Maybe the only time they hear about Jesus, I don't know. And then the thing that we're building momentum year by year, building a culture, changing a culture, taking over a holiday where kids are going up and down the streets and where there's a lot of vandalism and so on going. That's not all bad, but I mean there are opportunities for bad things to happen. Now we've made it a church thing. You know, I talked about that earlier. But that took hard work. That's 17 years we've been doing that. You know, you get good at anything doing it 17 years. We've been pastoring for 32 years here. People ask what's your key to success. I think the greatest key to success, we just didn't quit. I mean, if you stay with anything long enough, you're going to get good at it. Are you with me? Be consistent. Be diligent. Be faithful. Have character. Have integrity. These things are very spiritual things. We don't like to talk about them so much. Sometimes we like to talk about charisma and not character. But charisma is no good without character. I mean, your gift may get you to the top, but it's your character that keeps you from falling off. Are you with me? And your gift may open the door, but it's your character that keeps the door open. And some people are gifted way beyond their character to sustain it. And, you know, my charisma, my gifts, I had nothing to do with those at all. That's what God gave me. My character, my integrity is what I give God. And so, you know, I wouldn't be just touting your gift. I mean, you ought to use your gift, but you ought to use it with integrity. You ought to use it with character. You ought to be consistent. You ought to use it for the glory of God. Are you with me? That's where you come in. Your gifting, you had nothing to do. God gave you that. If you got a good brain, God gave you a good brain. Are you with me? If you can sing, God gave you a good voice. Thank God, because everybody doesn't have one. I know. I've heard some of you sing. But I've heard me sing. But anyway, whatever you got it from God. Now, whatever you do with it is your gift. My gift is what God gave me. What I do with it is what I give him. Now, that comes down to character. That comes down to integrity. That comes down to this right here, diligence. Doing it diligently. Not be a CEO Christian, you know. That's Christmas, Easter, and other holidays. But actually coming week in and week out. Amen? And not just being a Sunday Christian. You know, but get out on that job and live for Jesus. And be honest and love people and pray for people and work hard. Amen. Woo! Hey, Proverbs 12. We're going to stay in Proverbs for a little while. I'm going to jump to the New Testament right before it. Wow, it's already late. It's 15 till 1. Anyway, didn't change our clocks. Proverbs 12, 24th verse, knows what it says here. It says, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule. But the slothful, or lazy, shall be under tribute. Now see, this is a theme you see all through the Scripture, and we often miss it. Doesn't really sound real spiritual, you know. We want to just pray and believe God. Well, I think we should pray and believe God. I have no question about that. We should always pray and believe God. But what are we believing him to do? We should be believing him to bless what we're doing. Believing him to bless the work of our hand. Because he told us to go do something. Amen? And if it's retirement checks, if it's tax returns or whatever, disability check, you know, pray God, believe God to bless that, and believe God to give us wisdom to use that to budget. I'm going to get into that later. I hope I don't empty that when I talk on budgeting, but anyway. It's scripturally biblical. It's all in the Bible. It's all there. It says here, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. The New Living Translation says, work hard and become a leader. Be lazy and become a slave. Pure and simple. You can control your destiny. You are not a victim. You're not a victim of your past. You're not a victim of your upbringing. You're not a victim of your surroundings. You're not a victim of other people. You can get the reins to your destiny. You can trust God. You can rise up out of the ashes. You can believe God and trust God. You say, well, my parents were this way. Well, I hope you had good ones. But if you didn't, it really doesn't matter. Because you can believe God right now, and you can rise out of those ashes. Amen? You're not a victim. You're a victor. Hallelujah. You don't have to be lazy. You can get up. You can set the alarm. I know one guy used to have somebody call him every morning because he was bad about getting up. But if somebody called him, his friend is, he'd call him up and wake him up. He'd get up and go to work, you know. My dad always had a philosophy. He said, get up, dress up, and show up. You know, because you don't always feel like it, but it doesn't matter what you feel like. Amen? Just do what you say. You give your commitment, and you say you're going to do something, go do it. If you got a job, show up. Be the best person on that job. Yeah. I'll tell you what, you'll see God bless you through your diligence. God will bless you through your consistency. You know, I have to be the same way at church. I do my best to get down here. Sometimes I feel like it. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I feel like a nut. Sometimes I don't. Are you with me? You know, it's like that guy that mama got him up, says, son, you got to get up. It's time to go to church. And he says, I don't feel like going to church. And he says, well, it doesn't matter. She said, son, you got to go to church. It's Sunday. You're supposed to go to church. He says, can I just sleep in? Just give me one good reason why I should go to church. He says, well, son, you're the pastor. You need to be there. Amen. Well, if we know this is how God blesses, it ought to encourage us to do it. Amen. So we're not just going to work on our own. We're going to work in faith. We're not just going to work just trying to willfully bulldog our way through this thing. We've got God behind us blessing us. Amen. And he'll help us get to work on time. He'll help us do the job we're supposed to do. He'll give us favor with people on that job. Proverbs 12, while you're there, look at the 27th verse. It says, the slothful man roasteth that not which he... Oh, boy. The slothful man, he doesn't roast what he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. Now, I like that because... And I've seen that happen, you know. It's just so much trouble. You're tired, you've been hunting, or you've been fishing with Dick all day long, you know. And now we've got to clean those fish, man. But hey, that's what we went out there to do, is to get that meat. And you need to skin that deer out. And that's where a lot of people are right now because deer season opened up this weekend, rifle season. That's where Glenn is. I know that's where Glenn is right now. But anyway, you know, everything we have has value. And if you're a diligent person and you're praying like you should be, God will show you things that you actually have that have value that you're not taking advantage of. Whether it's hunting and letting the food, you know, ruin before you skin it out and process it and so on and so forth, whether it's fish that you don't clean out or whatever. That's what he's talking about literally. But really, when you think about it, here again, New Living Translation says, lazy people don't even cook the game they catch, but the diligent make use of everything they have. I like that. I mean, that's good. Because sometimes we're looking for more stuff. We actually have stuff that we can do something with. Sometimes we could sell some stuff we have. Sometimes we have things that we really don't use. It's overkill. And sometimes we're overspending, obviously, in areas too. We need wisdom. You know, I always fall back to this. Who was the richest man in the Bible besides Jesus? Solomon, no question. Who made him rich? God. How did he make him rich? Gave him wisdom. That's exactly what he did. So oftentimes we're wanting more money, we need more wisdom. Because with wisdom comes riches, as the Bible says. It says, in her right hand's length of days, in her left hand's riches and honor. Wealth and riches are in her hands. So God, if you'll give me wisdom, I'll have the means and the wherewithal to make money. But if you just give me money, I'll burn it up and then I'll need some more. Are you with me? But if I have wisdom, I have favor, I can go make some more money. Woo, hallelujah, that's good stuff, amen. That's spiritual. This is the way we ought to be, it's a very practical thing, but it's the way we ought to be praying. Instead of, Lord, just get me out of this mess, I'll serve you. You ever been there? Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. You just got to help me. Jesus, if you don't show up, I don't know what I'm going to do. If you'll help me, I'll serve you. Oh, we've been there. We've all been there. But, you know, there's a reason you're in that mess. And you can't talk your way out of a situation you behave yourself into. Hello. Somewhere along the line, we've got to change our behavior. We've got to change, you know, what we're doing. And God will help us do that. Thank God. And he'll help us do right. Help us use finances right. Help us be a better worker or a better owner of a business, if that's the case. I believe you ought to ask God to bless your business. God, give me favor. Cause me to prosper. Because if you have more money, you're going to tithe more. You're going to give more. I didn't say that in a funny way. I mean, that's just, we can do more with that. Most people in church are not going to stand behind this pulpit. Most people in church work on a job or own a business or something along those lines. And finances come in from that, tithes and offerings, and that's how buildings get built. If it was just me by myself, it wouldn't be very long at all. I would have to go get a job. But since you all are showing up, and you tithe and you give offerings, hello, then I can devote more time to the Bible and the Word. And that's how churches work. That's how it's always worked. That's how the Judaism worked. That's how Christianity works. So along those lines, if most of us probably work, then we need to find out what God says about that. And he has a lot to say about it. I mean, he has a lot to say about being diligent and not being slothful and doing the right thing. Amen? And man, it's so good because you're serving God by going to work. Wow. You are serving God by going to work. You're doing a godly thing when you go to work. A holy, godly thing. You're providing for your household. You're providing tithes and offerings for the kingdom of God. That is a spiritual thing. That's what that is. And all of us are spiritual, not just me up here preaching. Proverbs 13. Well, I'm going to have to get out of Proverbs and get to the New Testament. There's so many. I never get to all this. If you want some wisdom on working, and go to Proverbs. Amen. Proverbs 13, notice what it says here in the fourth verse. It says, the soul of the sluggard desireth, slothful, sluggard, lazy person. He wants, he desires, he wishes, he dreams, he hopes. He desireth, but he hath nothing. But the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Now think about that. All I got to do is believe. Well, yes and no. If you believe, I suppose you're doing what God says to do. But if we're not doing what God says to do, we can pray all we want to. It's not taken away from faith and prayer, because I believe. I believe I ought to keep my confession straight, and I am trusting God. But I am doing what God's telling me to do. Amen. And he's blessing the work of my hands. So I'm obeying God. Now I can believe God to do what I can't do. Isn't that right? Okay. New Living Translation says, lazy people want much, get little. But those who work hard will prosper. See, dreams don't come by just talking. They don't come by just saying. They come by rowing and praying. You know, we heard that example. You know, get out there and do the best you can do. Get out there and knock on the doors. Beat on the door. Do what you got. If you don't have a job and you're able to work, make a job out of finding a job. Ask God to help you and give you favor. Pray over your resumes. Pray over those interviews that you do. But don't stop till you get one. That's right. Amen. That's right. And believe God you're going to get. And when you get one, praise God. Believe God to bless you on that job, to promote you on that job. If you have a business, believe God for clients. Don't just go out there and try to get clients. Go out and try to get them and believe God for clients. Are you with me? God forbid you do anything that you wouldn't pray about. God forbid you would pray about anything and not do it. God forbid you'd say, God doesn't want me to prosper, and then go work. If God doesn't want you to prosper, you need to quit your job. God forbid you'd say, God doesn't want to heal me, God doesn't heal, and go to the hospital. If you don't believe God wants you healed, then you don't need to go to the doctor. Okay. I mean, God forbid you do anything that you wouldn't pray about, because that's inconsistent. I mean, we're working to get to build this church, and we're praying for God to bless this church. We're praying over Hallelujah Night, and we're working in Hallelujah Night. Are you with me? And we believe in healing, so we believe in doctors, and we believe in hospitals, we believe in medicine. We take medicine till we don't have to. Amen? Until a manifestation comes. But we're on the same team here. We believe in prosperity, so we believe in jobs. We believe in working. And if you have a job and you don't believe God wants you to prosper, then you're living a very inconsistent life. You're inconsistent. You're working against yourself and your mind. You don't even realize it. And if you think God's making you sick for his glory and you're taking medicine, you're absolutely contradicting yourself. You are a living contradiction because you're trying to get out of the will of God by taking medicine that you believe God has put on you. A sickness that you believe he's got on you for his glory, and you're not allowing God to get glory by trying to get well. Y'all out there? Actually, God wants you well, amen? And you know that better than you think you do. And you do everything you can to get well, and that's why we praise doctors and honor people that the nursing profession, because God wants people healed, amen? And you know what? God wants to prosper people too. He wants you to be blessed. He doesn't want you poor. It's not a sin to be poor. You may be poor, but you don't have to stay poor. The sin is not trying to get out of the poverty. The sin is not trying to rise up and trying to get out of that. Hey, turn with me to New Testament. Run out of time here. This helping anybody? Amen. Hallelujah. While you turn there, turn to Romans 12. You know, we think about Deuteronomy 28, which is one of the blessing chapters. But actually, it starts out, it says, "Hearken. If you'll hearken diligently to my voice, and you will do that which is right in my sight, and you will keep my commandments, which I command you this day." We often miss that part, don't we? Then it says, all these blessings will come on you and overtake you. And really, most of those blessings he's talking about have to do work. Fruit of your body, the fruit of your kind, the flocks of your sheep, your cattle, the fruit of your ground. That was farming and cattle and so on and so forth. And then he literally says, I'll bless the work of your hand. And I'll cause the rain to come down your land and it ceases. Well, what good was rain on the land if you didn't have anything planted? Obviously, it was on work is what it is. God blesses work. God blesses what you do, see. And so we ought to pray for that. Okay, Romans 12:3, it says, I'm going to read several verses here, but listen closely because this is good stuff. This is better preaching. Y'all are amen, and this is good stuff. For I say, through the grace of God, which is given me, third verse, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according to as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. We all have faith, amen. As many as members, as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that's given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on the ministry, or he that teaches, wait on teaching, or he that exhorts on exhortation. It grows, it's slow, you start little, you know, just be patient. He that gives, let him do it with simplicity. I like that. That's a gift too, gift of giving. He that rules, people that organize and rule, let him do it with diligence. He that shows mercy with cheerfulness. Not like you're about half mad about it, you know. Yeah, I'm going to help you. I don't want to help you, but I'm going to help you. No, you ought to do it with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to what is good. Be kindly affection one to another. Isn't this wonderful, all these spiritual things? With brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Now listen to the 11th verse. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Now he throws that in the mix of all that mercy and love, gifts and ministering, and he talks about business. Wow. You know, it'd be a shame if I, as a minister, if I didn't pay my bills and everybody in town knew what a dog I was, are you with me? And they knew that if they ever loaned me any money, they'd never get it back. And then I tell them about Jesus. Are you out there? Wouldn't be a good witness, would it? Or if the church was just always in debt, we've been in debt, but we worked to get out and we did. But we were always in debt, never paid our bills. Hello. It doesn't look well. It doesn't bode well. It doesn't make God look good, does it? And working is the same way. I mean, if we're going to go to work, then let's do what we say. You say, well, they ought to do better. Well, you know, you agreed to get on that. You agreed to work on that job certain hours for a certain amount of money. Are you with me? Well, I don't think it's right. Well, I mean, you know, you just need to take it up with God. You're the one that said you'd do it. Your word's on the line here. Until that changes, maybe there's some things that need to improve, but you need to honor your word and do what you said you were going to do. Everybody works on a job wants to talk about the boss. Hello, but there's no secret going into that job what the job was. You knew what it was. He hired you for a penny a day to work in that vineyard. Yeah, but this other guy showed up half a day and he got a penny. Yeah, but you agreed for a penny. It's not your money, it's his money. It's in the Bible. I just quoted scripture to you, incidentally. I thought that was an interesting analogy. But here, along with all these spiritual things, business is one of those things. Man, are you, okay, you're here and we're all saying hallelujah and we got our hands up in the air, and rightly so. I love church. Man, I love church. But you know what? You're a Christian when you walk out of here and when you get on that job. Or if you own a business, you're a Christian when you're making those deals. Amen. And that doesn't change. That doesn't change. And if you will make sure it doesn't change, God will make sure you're blessed. Because he'll bless you. Hey, one more, we'll close out here. Hebrews 6, three verses in one passage, and we're done. This helping anybody?
Yes.
I didn't get to hardly any of these verses. What I want to encourage you in this series is there's a lot in the Bible about how you handle the money that you keep, not just the money that you give. We're going to talk about tithing and giving later, but before I get there, I want you to understand that your job's not done when you give. All the money you have is God's. Your whole life is God's. You're bought with a price. We need to honor God with our money. We ought to pay our bills. We ought to have integrity. We have honor. And if you're struggling with that, I'm not condemning anybody at all. We've all struggled. We've all fallen on hard times. But there's hope. You can get out of it. You can turn it around. You can start praying and obeying. Pray and obey. And little by little, you might not got in that mess overnight. You may not get out overnight. But you can get out. You can get on the right road. We were in debt in this church, and we struggled for years. But we got a plan. We started chiseling away at that debt. We started putting extra money on it. And boy, 1997, Jerry Savelle came in here and preached and paid our debt off. And we were going to get it paid off that year, but he just jumped the gun on us. God blessed us. But God blessed us because we were doing something. And now we've been out of debt, and we've determined, hey, you know what? We're going to stay out of debt. And it's been a struggle. There have been times we'd like to finish out that gym. We could go borrow that money just like that and get that gym finished out. But we're not going to do that. We're paying cash as we go. Amen? And we're going to get everything. When you see something done, it's paid for. Hallelujah. Hebrews 6, 10, 11, 12. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. We desire that every one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope to the end, that you be not slothful or lazy, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Well, I love that. Promises of God are attained through diligence, through just not giving up, not quitting, through being consistent and being like God, the Lord God that changes not. Do what you say and be a man or woman of your word. Amen? And God will bless you. He will. He's blessed us in this church because of it. We're going to keep it up. Hallelujah. If God says work and you'll be blessed, then he wants you blessed. Pure and simple. All those promises that say do this and you will prosper just drives in the fact that God wants to prosper you. But he does it through you.